Today we wanted to talk about the identity of the people of God as people who pray. And today we wanted to dedicate this weekend to praying over our city and the government officials, especially coinciding with the Festival of Lights last night and praying for the mayor. And it's just great to know that the mayor, the last thing he said to me as he left was, "Hey, let's get together for lunch and let's talk." And I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. God's touching his heart. Because we can be a people that will influence the city. That's why we live here. That's why God put us here. He could have put us anywhere in the world, but he put us here because we are to be a light that shines, an influence that takes place. Not something benign or neutral or hidden, but something that influences and salts the earth. And so we've got to get onto that side of the equation that makes a difference rather than the grandstand side that just watches and consumes. We've got to be those that are making a difference. And so we have decided to take this time, this weekend, to remind ourselves who we are. We're a people who pray. We're a people who pray. And today we're going to pray over the city. Does God love the cities? Let's take a look. God has always loved cities. He cares about them because that's where people live. It's where they work and are either influenced or swayed. The first city we hear about is the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where immorality became unbridled and all restraint was tossed aside under the guise of freedom. And when God said that he was about to destroy it, Abraham stopped him and said, "But Lord, what if there are 50 righteous? Would you destroy it if I can find 50? God said, "Okay, for 50, I'll rethink." Now, Abraham must have gone out and taken a quick survey and found that this number was a bit high. So he came back with a lower bid and he said, "God, what about 45? And then 20, 10. He couldn't even find 10 who were living righteously in the city. Maybe they went to church on Sunday, but they forgot who they were on Monday. So the second step was God sent angels to try and turn them back. But when the population rejected them, the end of the city came quickly. With that in mind, as we pray over our city today, we want to first pray for the righteous within it, in the marketplace and in businesses, that we are righteous not only on Sundays, but from Mondays on, to stand and be counted in that survey, but to stand without fear and without shame, to let nothing but the name of Christ be what motivates us. No, not money alone or power or prestige or prominence or more. The myth of more that has stolen so much from each of us, our families and our ministries. The second city we want to talk about is Nineveh. Now, this time, God doesn't send an angel. He sends a prophet, a stubborn one at that, his name, Jonah. In fact, when God asked Jonah to go to the city and get them to turn back to God, he actually went to the dock and caught a ship going in the opposite direction. He went the other way. You ever do that? When God asks you to do something and you know what it is, but you just do the opposite. We all do. I do. We might not talk about that right now because I know it's going to convict way too many of us. So let's go back to the city of Nineveh and talk about Jonah. It wasn't until God captured this stubborn prophet going in the wrong direction that we find one of the most beautiful verses in the whole of Scripture. It's found in Jonah 3:1. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, go to Nineveh." Did you catch that? Catch that phrase. "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." You ever need that? I mean, when we don't listen, but His grace is so merciful that instead of tossing us aside, the word of the Lord comes to Wayne or to Bill or to Ann or to you a second time, maybe a third time or a fourth time. Now you have to remember that Jonah was in the belly of a whale at that time. And now I don't know if God had a remote control whale out there, but He turns this thing around and the whale irps him up on the Waikiki beach of Nineveh. That's right, right there with the tourists. Now he must have been white as a sheet because he was in bile, marinating for about 3 days, and seaweed was wrapped around him like Miley Lays. And now he walks into the city and tells it to repent. Now with that kind of presentation, I think I would repent. We'd all listen, wouldn't we? And they all did. And the churches grew by 120,000 that week. Yeah, God loves cities. And by the way, He's still sending prophets, isn't He? Some of you, God may have given the voice of a prophet to be someone graciously bold or appropriately unashamed with who you are and how you run your business, with God as your CEO. We need more prophets, bold in how they conduct their business without compromise, unashamed, and with the sole purpose of influencing this city for Christ more than anything else. And we want to pray for the prophets in the city, that business people will stand up and be the Jonahs of today. And for some of you Christians I'm speaking to, this may be the word of the Lord coming to you a second time, or maybe a third time. So this time, let's hear Him. We don't have many years left, and what we may lose, we may never gain again. But the third city that we want to talk about is Jerusalem. And to this one, we find these words in the book of Luke 13 and 19. It says this, "And Jesus is praying over the city, and He cries, 'O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets and stones those that have been sent to her. How often,' He says, 'I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it.'" And then it says here, "When He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." To the first city, He sent angels. To the second, He sent a prophet. But can you comprehend how grievous our sins must have been in the scope of eternity that our Heavenly Father sensed the need to have to come personally to the third city in order to redeem us on that day in Jerusalem? That's right, not an angel or prophet. He sent His only begotten Son. Now, yes, in the past He did send angels and prophets, but then He loved us so much that He took off His crown and glory and put aside His regal robe and stepped out of eternity and into our city. God extended such grace. And today, as we pray over our city, we pray for the righteous, that we'd live as such and would not hide when God counts us and numbers us. And I pray for the many of you that are like gentle prophets in your businesses. Please never forget who you are on Monday. A city is relying on your influence with just a word or an invitation. How many of our lives have been eternally changed because one neighbor invited us to church or a Bible study or even to lunch? So today, we too pray over our city to ask the very Son of God to bless this collection of people yearning to breathe in something of the eternal while being held by their own humanity. That we as His people carry not just a philosophy of religion, but the very Son of God, who will be seen as we walk among the city. We pray that the Redeemer will be the God of this city. You see, the Jews tried to make Him into a law, a regulation. The Greeks tried to make Jesus into a philosophy. And then later, the Europeans made Him into a culture. And we in America try to make Him into a subculture or a career by which we can just get further ahead. But today, we appeal to the person, not to a philosophy, not a religion, but to the person of Jesus Christ. And regardless of the many who may refuse Him, despite our efforts, they try to keep Him out, yet the God of all grace persists. Why? Because He loves cities. He still does the impossible. In fact, if you think about it, His whole life is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. You see, Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance, and He left through a door marked no exit. He's the Lord over all the earth, and He's the God of the city. I want us to pray for our city. Let's do it together, and let's pray. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, without money and weapons, You conquered more millions than Alexander the Great, Caesar, Napoleon, and all the world wars combined. And without science and without learning, You shed more light on things human and divine than all philosophers, scientists put together. And without writing a single line, You set more pens in motion and furnished more themes for orations and discussions and books and works of art and songs of praise than all the great artists and musicians of ancient and modern times collectively. We appeal to You and pray over this city that You will once again turn Your grace towards us, not Your justice, for indeed we would fall like other cities. We pray for good leaders, for I know that one of the ways You bring justice is that You allow unwise leaders to rule over a city, causing great pain and a generation of sorrow. We pray for the righteous among us and the prophets within our midst that they will not recede or catch a ship and go the other way, but instead that they would be ambassadors, the ambassadors that You asked us to be and influence our cities toward good. We know that we have sinned here in this city, grievously sinned, and we pray for mercy before we pray for blessings. And when you do arrive, and when you do speak to our hearts, and when you do move in the manger of our souls, as you did on that first Christmas morning, may we be more like the lowly and humble shepherds to run and recognize you, like the wise men who brought you gift. That we be more like the angels that sang, Hosanna, and not as the many others who saw you as a threat and ignored and simply tolerated you as a nuisance. Lord, would you forgive our sinfulness and grant us the only two gifts we ask for this Christmas, and that is your mercy and your grace. Be the God of our city in Hawaii and in every city where believers are gathering around your throne as we are doing today. Be the God of our city, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. Oh, you are. Singing, there is no one like our God. No one, there is no one like our
So God, we pray that you would change people's lives. We pray for this city, oh God, that once again, you would be the God of this city, that you would touch people's lives. Be today the God of this city.
Hey!
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, oh Jesus. Singing, there is no one like our God.
No one like our God.
No, there is no one like our God. Oh, yeah.
Let's stand together. Isn't that a stellar presentation? We're actually wanting to air that on television so it'll go across the islands. In fact, the television station just called us and said, do you know that your program in one station, we did a little chart on it. 51,000 people watch this program. 51,000. That's so good. Well, that's the ones that we want to reach and more. And so we've got a lot of work ahead of us. There's a lot yet to be done in the city. And so we want to start by getting our hearts right and praying for the city and ask God to work through us. By the way, if you've not signed that petition, go to the concierge desk. We want to have everybody sign it so that we can send it to the mayor and the governor. And if you came in a little later, you missed it. There's some, how many of you signed it? Raise your hand. Okay, good. So everybody sign it because we wanted to go to the governor and to the mayor to say that we're a praying church. We're praying for you. Doesn't mean you're going to give money to a campaign or anything. Just means we're going to stand up and be counted. Because as I said, the righteous weren't, they were there at Sodom and Gomorrah, but they weren't counted. They just, they were neutral. They just kind of disappeared. We don't want that to happen. If we want God to bless the city, the righteous need to stand up and be counted because God is looking for the righteous. So it starts with us. Be bold and let them know that we're praying for you. That's what it's gonna do. But we want to pray. And so would you bow your heads? Father, we pray for the city. We pray for our mayor and our governor. We ask that you would give them great wisdom for the days ahead. Because we really need last days leaders, men and women that have a moral ethic, that are open to the ways of God and have courage to stand against the tides of the times for fear that it might make them unpopular. Instead, Lord, we pray that you would make them bold, that you would give them a sense for the future of our children and make wise decisions today. So we pray for our city. We pray for the lost in our city, that somehow, Lord, we would be a navigational beam, and we'd be a light on the top of that Christmas tree, a light on the top of a hill that will help people to find their way to you, the God of all lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow, as James says. So, Lord, we thank you for being the Father of all lights. Light up our life and through ours. Light up the city. We thank you for allowing us to be that kind of church. We love being a people who pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you thank him with a clap offering, would you?
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name. Shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save.
Your name.
Have a fabulous week. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you?
Your name is a strong and mighty tie.